This is A-State Connections on KASU. I'm Jonathan Reeves. This is the weekly segment called A-State Connections and Create at State, Making Connections That Count. In this interview, Associate Professor of Art, Painting, and Drawing at Arkansas State, Melissa Wilkinson, joined undergraduate student Landon Bates as they talked about the deeper interpretive meaning of art.
So I'm going into my ninth year at Arkansas State, and our department is very much in flux and constantly growing. Typically, my day revolves around the technical aspects of making an artwork, drawing and painting specifically. Once we've kind of commanded and, you know, honored the process of making an image, what we do is we talk about the ideas and the conversation involved in what experiencing an artwork is, who the audience is, what artists are trying to communicate, what's important to them to mirror back, and what kind of voice an artist is interested in developing. And so we're trying to nurture that.
So how do artists communicate through their work in painting?
Oh, through a variety of ways. I think that, you know, we're born and steeped into a visual culture. You know how to, you know, read a comic book because of how you read a book. You know, you're going to enter in and know certain icons. You're going to understand certain cultural symbols. There's going to be, you know, visual cues that are going to basically, that you're going to intuit, that you're going to understand in your gut. A pointy form is going to feel sharp and it's going to agitate you. A round one is going to, you know, sort of mollify you. So I think first and foremost, we talk about those design elements. That's one way to communicate. Then we communicate through sort of cultural symbol and iconography that we're sort of raised up in American culture, but just simply just in the West. Mm-hmm. So a variety of ways, but primarily sensual. It's visual first, but really the senses play a huge role in how you read and what you glean.
We were talking previously, and you'd said that for all of the hours of work that goes into a painting, people may just kind of scan through it, and that kind of tell us about what all goes into creating a work, which has got to be many, many hours of intense labor around a project.
So what is it? Malcolm Gladwell said it takes something like 10,000 hours to master something, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think we all work in various ways, and we call what we do a practice not because we're pretentious, but because what we do is a discipline, and we get up and we're thinking about being a filter. So first and foremost, just navigating through the world and thinking about what's important to assess and measure, what's important to even spit back. But first and foremost, like when I make an image, I'm looking a lot at the internet. The internet is a huge muse for me. Most of the images that I deal with, I take from the internet, and then I transform. I'm really interested in art history. I'm looking at a lot of art history. So my current paintings essentially involve making very, very similar paintings to John James Audubon, the bird guy from the 19th century, the American. And I'm, you know, taking those bird images and putting in a lot of very, very seductive, rich surface images like gems and gold and hands and just very, very sensual images that would basically look at, you know, sensuality in the 21st century. I think a lot about, I don't know if you're familiar with the Cabinet of Curiosities from the 19th century.
Mm.
So, you know, the upper middle class bourgeois would have like a big cabinet full of all the things that are from the world. Mm-hmm. Shells and prints and stuffed animals, you know, taxidermy and moon rock, whatever, right? I'm basically trying to create a kind of painted image that would be found in the current world in a Cabinet of Curiosities. And ironically, they're sort of like photorealist, and so they could exist as digital prints, but the labor involved in my painting practice is really, really important because oftentimes my viewer discovers that they're painted. And there's a sort of glee and delight in I think, that discovery.
Michelle Wilkinson joining me here. We'll talk to Landon Bates, a student at Arkansas State, here in just a few minutes. Before we do, though, how has painting evolved and maybe even changed as we've gone through time, and especially now we're in a more digital world where, as you say, the internet's something that you use as an inspiration sometimes. But there's still an importance to painting. I know even when things are all digital and now we can just very easily do graphic art and those kinds of things. Kind of tell us about that.
Well, painting is very much celebrating the human experience, but more importantly, the human condition as it relates to just being and beholding something real. It is not filtered through, you know, spreading it out like a meme. Even though there is great value, I think, to digital art today, I think painters are very much responding in a way that sort of turns their back on that. They're making crafted images that take a long, long time that might seem redundant to some people who can say, well, I can just file print that. The reality is what I do is essentially about making an object where millimeters and millimeters and millimeters of paint are an expression of time and my hand. And I think that there is a kind of aura to that. I think that there's a really undeniable, unequivocal experience that people know is there when they behold an object that's been handmade.
When you look at a painting, what are you looking for? What separates one painting from another by way of, you know, this is good, but this is wow, if you know what I'm trying to ask?
Yeah, I think I'm a traditionalist, and I really love craft. I think that in the world that we live today, it's very, very slick and commodity-driven. And to kind of confront that, I think that objects that really just are about slowing down, that are very much, you know, taking my breath away, are just essentially beautifully cared for, that are made through years and years of study and years of looking deeply at painting, and honoring a tradition that, you know, honoring a tradition without completely turning your back on it is essentially the continuum of what painting is about, learning from your forebears. You know, there's a 700 years of oil painting tradition behind me. I'm not going to reinvent the wheel, but what I can do is continue a thread.
Melissa Wilkinson, the Associate Professor of Art Painting and Drawing here at Arkansas State, joining us. Let's talk to Landon Bates. Landon, thank you so much for joining us. Tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're from and how you decided to come to Arkansas State University.
I'm from Harrisburg, Arkansas, which is just down the road from Jonesboro. So coming to Arkansas State was just kind of a natural thing since I still live with my parents. But studying art came kind of after I got to Arkansas State undeclared. So after the first semester here on campus, I took Kara Sullivan's drawing class and then immediately kind of declared an art education major because I was going to become an art teacher, which I think most art students kind of think that that's the only go about when you have an art degree. But later I decided to go into studio to kind of develop my own practice and see how the world of art works, not necessarily in an academic teaching world, but as a lifestyle.
Right. Landon, have you always, you know, been drawing and stuff like that? Have you always had an interest in art, or is this something that you just kind of developed when you started taking classes at A-State?
Yeah, always. I can, even from kindergarten, I remember, you know, drawing and painting and things, but it wasn't until college when I had some challenging assignments that would, you know, require hours and hours of intense, you know, working over paper and charcoal in hand, you know, that I figured that I wanted to be an actual artist, not just someone who, like a hobbyist who just did it for fun.
So what does it take, in what you've been finding, that, you know, that is that difference between someone who does it for a hobby and someone like you who really wants to do this for a living? What is that difference?
In my view, a person who does it for a hobby does it not out of necessity, but does it out of free time. And so it's not really a priority for them. But someone who studies art, like the people in our department, they do it out of necessity for them to get it onto paper, and they see it kind of as a livelihood to develop their practice and get better. And be known, you know, develop skill, become the best artist they can be, whereas hobbyist, I don't think that that's really something that they're thinking.
How, I know you've taken some classes with Melissa. How has she been able to kind of help you and other faculty as well in kind of developing your craft?
So a lot of our professors are really excellent artists, and I think that's really important because, like, coming from different high school, I had a really good art teacher, but I know that some art teachers took the art education route, and they're not really as dedicated as maybe someone who studied studio art. So the professors here who did study studio art have a much more developed art practice, so they're much more experienced and can give you the information you need. They know about the art world that you're trying to get into. They have art connections. They've been around and done it all.
Melissa, let's bring you back in the conversation. I think this kind of leads to a special topics class that I know you've been teaching. I think Landon is part of this and some other students as well. Kind of tell us about, because he said livelihood, he's thinking about careers and all of that. Is that a challenge sometimes for going into the art world as to, okay, where do we start first and how do we make a living doing this?
And I think we have our plate full in focusing on art, right? We're contending with art history. We're contending with this inherited tradition. We're contending with helping them develop voices as mature working professionals. But the reality is art schools in, I think at the state level, oftentimes we don't focus on the practicality of being able to exist as a working business professional. And what we do as studio artists is essentially run a small business. So luckily I'm in a department that's fairly flexible with introducing new material, and I've written a curriculum and have instituted it in a watercolor class, which is very much like an illustration course, where we're focusing pretty explicitly on making a living, what it means to build a website, what it means to think about other disciplines that could either enhance or allow for an artist to be able to have enough time to make a living working in a studio. So we're talking to professionals like art restorers, people who run galleries and museums, other artists who use side hustles. That's a really popular term right now, to be able to sustain a career. We talked to a former student of mine who, Esteban Del Valle, who I had years ago, who travels the world doing murals. And he's just, you know, from, you know, suburb of Chicago and never thought that he would ever move to New York to become a working professional, which is oftentimes a reason why many of our students do not choose to go. Many of our students in general at the university level choose to not go into the visual arts because they don't think it's sustainable. But what it does is it teaches them to, I think, approach the world in a way that is about problem solving. Oftentimes, artists are pegged as being these sort of flaky people who don't have jobs, who wait tables if they do have a job. But the reality is we're dealing with students with a very different attitude, I think, in this century, this generation. They know what it takes and what kind of self-promotion is involved in being able to pay the bills, being able to have a car, being able to pay for a studio rent. And so what I'm trying to do really this semester is really fight against this intuition that I've had over the years to just talk about and honor the practice of making art and talk about the functionality of what it might mean to, you know, make multiples or, you know, promote yourself on Instagram and try to sell on Instagram, building a base, building a clientele, working with commissions, etc.
And Landon, what have you been getting out of this course, the special topics class?
This class, I think, is crucial to the art department because a lot of times artists don't think of practical ways of making money. They just think of making their objects and hoping that someone comes along and buys them. But thinking about like who their market is or where their artwork is going to be selling, what's their price points, what goes into it and what you get out of it, you know, like back to price point, how much money do you put into this work and then how much money you get out of it.
Sure.
It's all really important to running that small business that she was talking about, because a lot of art or people looking into the art department, I don't think that it's really about a business side, but really it's kind of all about the business side.
Right. Yeah.
One of the interviews that we did, he said that being a working artist is 60% paperwork. And I actually think that that's completely true. Because, of course, the other side of my employment here is being a working professional artist. And I would totally stand behind that. And I think that in the changing economic face of America, I think the most vital job that an artist has to do is to convince people that it's valuable first. But they also have to be able to exist. And the government isn't so, conducive to throwing around grants anymore to enable that. Even though the communities that people want to live in, and it's tried and true and statistically viable, are filled with art. They're filled with creative problem solvers, people who open up boutiques. This is the community that people want to live in.
Right. And art does add value to communities. And I know that one of the things that you all try to do is, you know, try to work with local schools and others and children to be able to kind of get them involved in that as well.
Absolutely. I was responsible for a special topics course that painted the lion mural downtown. And what did that do? You know, it sparked a whole movement in Jonesboro, even though this is responding to a national movement of what we call a mural renaissance. It's not just about taking a selfie. What it does is it involves the community in a conversation about what we do as a university, but about, you know, the ideas that we hold to be true and important, and ultimately, you know, a kind of vital energy that people want to be a part of, I think. Art doesn't art asks questions. It doesn't provide the answers. It teaches you how to live by asking you those questions. It's no different than a novel. So when I think about our role in this community, my position just as a faculty member, I really want to get out there into the community in a way that maybe the university hasn't before in terms of the visual arts, because I think that this is the market we're serving. We're serving a local market. We're serving really a tri-state region, but it's primarily kids who maybe never, ever entertain the notion that they could go out there and live in a career that suits them, and that is indeed practical.
Mm-hmm. Right. So Landon, one of the things, before we let you run, one of the things I was wanting to ask you, as you're looking at your career and those things, and you're looking at what, you know, how Melissa has been helping you and others, how has Arkansas State, you know, kind of impacted your life overall, especially when you take a look at what your future holds?
So I think one of the things is having this art department, having it be so flexible with what we do, allowing her to implement this new class is really nice for us students. And then also another part of the university, having the Bradbury on campus, having all the really nice exhibitions all the time on campus. And then we also have a gallery in the Fine Arts Building that Melissa has a show up right now called Pink. And having all those resources on campus is really nice, because to be a good artist, I think you have to look at good art, and Arkansas State has a lot of good art.
Right. And Melissa, of course, said, you were probably on hand, as others were, about the announcement of the $6.7 million donation from the Wingate Foundation for the new building. And that's got to really – I know you're excited about that and what that's going to mean for the future of the university and for bringing more students in.
Oh, it's going to pull in a totally new set of people looking for something that we previously didn't have. The biggest challenge we face as a department as a whole, not just in 3D, is the need for space, the need for a new building. Our students don't have individual studios when they get to an upper level, which is pretty, you know, pretty across the board. So we're looking for another $20 million if anybody's out there. But this is going to change the game. It's going to even 20 years down the line, this is going to recruit the best possible faculty when we have retirements. It's going to create a showing space that is professional, that is responsive to current trends, that is safe, which is something that has been a challenge to us and still continues to pose a challenge to us, especially in duty. So really, we're so grateful that this is happening. It's needed to happen for 30 years, and our faculty has fought hard for this. So we are really excited to see what may happen, and then the work that students are going to be able to realize, which is primarily the reason why any of us come to this position, to this job, is to really help our students realize their fullest potential as artists.
That's Melissa Wilkinson and Landon Bates. You've been listening to the A-State Connections and Create at State podcast on KASU. You can subscribe to the Create at State podcast at the Create at State podcast page on KASU.org. It's also available on iTunes or Google Play. You can also listen on the NPR app. Tell your friends about the Create at State podcast and also subscribe to the podcast. Leave a review as well. Let us know how much you enjoy the program. You've been listening to A-State Connections and Create at State, making connections that count. I'm Jonathan Reeves.